businesses continue to do more with less. Hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update for Wednesday, September 5th. Coming up on the show, we're also going to talk about FedEx, which has downgraded its quarterly earnings forecast for the second time because of big concerns about the global economy. Also, it's going to be a big day for Nokia. The phone maker is coming out with a new smartphone. Will it work in the competition with Apple? That's all coming up on the Marketplace Midday Update.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
The government said this morning that productivity rose last quarter by 2.2%. That is more than originally thought, and it means that businesses are doing more with less. Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics joins us to discuss, as he does every Wednesday. Good morning.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you?
Doing well. So do you think this means that companies are still making their employees work harder or what?
I think there's a lot of technology that's assisting this, and I also think you have to look at this in the context of jobs. We really only added 75,000 jobs a month for the second quarter. That's down from the first quarter where we were adding 226,000. So productivity rises as a result of that. But the thing to keep in mind, Jeremy, is that the rate of productivity is slowing. Only 1% this year, far below the 3% of 2009 and 2010. So they're running out of ways to make the people they've hired work harder, which there is a silver lining to. Eventually, they will need to bring on some new staff.
Well, what about the technology thing you mentioned a moment ago? I mean, you're saying that they're just having more stuff done by computers rather than people, or what?
Yeah, I mean, automation has been replacing manufacturing jobs for some time. Software programs are also constantly working themselves into the routine of non-manufacturing, service-oriented jobs. And that's not really a cyclical thing. That's more of a structural thing that really was inevitable regardless of the state of the economy. We're going to get more productivity out of technology on a go-forward basis pretty much permanently.
Josh, what are you expecting for the employment number on Friday when we get the August report from the Labor Department?
You know, that's a good question. It's difficult to see a major improvement there. When you look at the rate, that's, you know, when you look at it over a multi-month, that's really telling you that, barring any kind of major surprise, people should just kind of look at this as the muddle-through economy that we've had, other than the really great first couple of months of this year.
Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's word from China that lots of new infrastructure spending could be in the works on everything from railroads to healthcare. The Chinese government is trying desperately to kickstart its slowing economy. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
There's been a lot of talk in Beijing, but no action. So far, China's government's taking the stance that no stimulus may be the best stimulus.
The leadership transition is coming up sometime in the fall. Any kind of stimulus takes a fair amount of time to kick in. If the party leadership felt that a hard landing was on the horizon, I think they would have already reacted.
Andy Rothman is a Shanghai-based economist. He's confident China's plan to maintain public infrastructure funding and to relax restrictions on the housing market will soon increase growth. But that doesn't mean China will return to its glory days.
The decade of double-digit annual GDP growth is gone, and it ain't coming back. And we're also, in particular, looking at a lot slower construction activity.
Not to mention tough times for anyone exporting to the EU or the U.S. Still, says Rothman, as home sales pick up again in China, so too will consumption of U.S. brand cars, phones, and clothes. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
FedEx has just downgraded its quarterly earnings forecast for the second time because of concerns about the global economy. UPS also downgraded its forecast earlier this summer. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports on what all this means for the broader economy.
FedEx's troubles are primarily overseas. As Europe has teetered into recession, Asian economies that produce for Europe have also faltered. Hong Kong economist Andy Hsia says China's manufacturing centers have become a major hub for global air freight.
A lot of things shipped from Korea, Taiwan, and Japan to China, and packaging products like iPhones to be distributed around the world.
Now, Europeans aren't buying as many of those fancy electronics, says Faribor Skadar, a professor of international trade at Penn State. and some of the business and finance that's conducted via FedEx envelopes has fallen off as well.
Immediately you think of, you know, documents going back and forth, but FedEx delivers components. If the equipment is not being used in Europe, then the components are not necessary, and so everything slows down.
The domestic U.S. economy could be FedEx's one bright spot, though, with the holiday shopping and shipping season about to start. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Today is a big day for the phone maker Nokia, a chance to remain relevant in the smartphone world. The company is unveiling a new phone that uses Microsoft's operating system, and Nokia has about a week to make a splash with the new phone before Apple again steals the spotlight with what's rumored to be the launch of the new iPhone. Our senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports.
When I dialed up tech analyst Rob Enderle, he answered his cell phone that runs on Windows. Since he uses Windows on his desktop computer, he finds it convenient.
Having the same interface on my phone makes it quite a bit easier than jumping back and forth.
Which is the kind of thing Microsoft and Nokia are hoping to capitalize on when they introduce their new design-from-the-ground-up smartphone based on the same Windows 8 system that'll run next-generation PCs. Nokia has been struggling to come up with a hit and rapidly eating away at its bank account in the process. Enderle says they're out of options.
They don't have the time. This has to work for them. They're burning through too much cash, so this is an all-or-nothing effort.
It's not so dire for Microsoft. In fact, things are looking up since Apple won its big patent lawsuit against Samsung phones using Google's Android system. Enderle explains that's got other handset makers running scared.
Suddenly, most of the Android guys are taking another look at Microsoft because of the litigation.
Enderle says if Nokia's new Lumia is a hit, it could change the smartphone landscape yet again. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Teachers in Chicago could go on strike next week if the school district and the teachers union can't agree on a new contract by Sunday night. It would be the first strike for a big city school district since 2006, when Detroit teachers walked off the job for 16 days. Becky Vivi of station WBEZ in Chicago has the story.
Chicago teachers can legally only strike over one thing, compensation. But for the last year, union leaders have tried to push Mayor Rahm Emanuel into focusing on other issues, smaller class sizes, more art and music programs, and job security. Karen Lewis is president of the Chicago Teachers Union.
We've seen public housing shut down, public health clinics, public libraries, and now public schools.
The school district has closed more than 100 schools in the last decade. About the same number of charter schools have popped up around the city. These are privately run schools that get taxpayer money. In that same decade, the Chicago Teachers Union lost 8,000 members. It's a trend that's happening across the country.
I think a lot is riding on ultimately what happens here in Chicago.
Robert Bruno is a labor expert at the University of Illinois. He says if the union can convince the district to approve fewer charter schools, it'll be a big win. But if negotiations fail, he says, it could be yet another setback for public sector unions. In Chicago, I'm Becky Vivi for Marketplace.
Tonight, former President Bill Clinton will be the main event at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte. Last night, First Lady Michelle Obama got personal and talked about her husband's connections with the middle class.
Barack knows what it means when a family struggles. He knows what it means to want something more for your kids and grandkids. Barack knows the American dream because he's lived it.
Well, as part of Marketplace's coverage of the real economy, we've been speaking to voters about what matters most to them this election year. And this morning, we've got Terry Coleman with us from Lenoir, North Carolina, where she runs a restaurant called Sweet Teas on Main. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how has the economy under President Obama been for you and your business?
As far as my business, I don't feel like there's any part of the president's agenda that's had a positive or a negative impact. Honestly, I feel like it's my responsibility to go out and work as hard as I can to grow this business and to do the right things for my employees.
So do you approve of the way that President Obama has handled the economy, or it just has no effect on you?
Well, I support the president, and I feel like there are a lot of things that maybe could have been done. I think the Republican Congress did not want him to succeed at all costs.
Well, what about the concerns, though, that we hear from other business owners, like there's too much uncertainty right now over new regulations, over health care, over taxes? Are those concerns of yours as well or not?
Well, I'm a small business, so I'm under the 50-person threshold in regards to the health care mandate.
And so you don't have to offer health care to your workers is what you're saying?
Right, but I have offered it through, you know, a cafeteria plan, because I feel like that's one of the things that I should do as an employer. There are some opportunities I wish we had as small businesses that we're not getting right now, but I don't see, for me, health care being a big motivator or government regulation or deregulation.
Now, you say you support the president. Did you think about Mitt Romney for a moment, or did you just decide from the very beginning of the campaign that you weren't going to consider him as a possibility?
I would like to feel that I have been open-minded to it, but there are so many things about the Romney-Ryan ticket that are not part of what I consider my comfort zone. Honestly, when I look at Mitt Romney, I do not see anything about him that resembles me or where I've come from. I just don't. I work hard. I'm a single mom. I raise two kids. I struggle every day. And it's hard to see that in Governor Romney.
Terry Coleman, owner of Sweet Teas on Main in Lenoir, North Carolina. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
High school football season has begun, and USA Today is out with a showcase of football star teams and athletes. But is media attention a good thing for young football players? Here's Marketplace's Shireen Marisol Meraji.
Harry Welch knows a little something about coaching high school football.
I didn't start until 1965.
His team, the Santa Margarita Eagles, were Division I state champions in California last year, and they just had a preseason game in Arizona that ESPN televised. The Eagles won 27-14.
Fans were wild and positively crazy.
Welch is pretty crazy about all this media attention. He says it's helped his school raise money that goes to both academics and athletics. USA Today has also picked up on the high school football craze and is kicking this season off with a magazine that profiles star high school teams and athletes across the country. Richard Lapchick is the director of diversity and ethics in sport at the University of Central Florida. He says national media attention can be positive.
I think it gives people who otherwise might not have the opportunity to go to college without an athletic scholarship the chance that their kids will be seen.
But he worries that the Friday night spotlight on athletics over academics may exploit high school athletes by ignoring what they really need, a high school diploma and a college degree. I'm Shireen Marisol Meraji for Marketplace.
And finally, to one of the most beautiful cities in the world, Venice, Italy, where everything is just spectacular. The canals, the bridges, the piazzas, the pigeons. Well, actually, the pigeons are kind of ugly, just like the pigeons everywhere else. So why not paint them different colors using non-toxic spray paint? That is exactly what two artists in Venice have done. And the pigeons actually look pretty good. You can see the work at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.